government here that possibly could be fleece in the wrong hands. I'm not going to save them. I was really upset.
Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud of halacha is, as every day, should be a zchus for Yosef Dov ben Chayle, Hishtav Rafu, Shlema, B'sor, Shol, Chayle, Yisrael.
Amen.
So I think it would be quite possible for the majority of the Orthodox Jewish population to sail through this Friday thinking that it's just a regular Erev Shabbos, thinking it's just a regular day. And I plan to spend this week telling you some what I think are extremely interesting and fascinating things about this Friday, which I've been discovering as I went along. First of all, it works out, but that's nothing to do with Erev Shabbos, but it works out that this Friday, I believe, is Tes Tammuz. Tes Tammuz was the year, is it not?
It's Ches.
Is it Ches?
Ches is Friday.
It's Ches. Okay, so Friday is Tes Tammuz. Shabbos will be Tes. So Friday is Erev Tes. Just to mention that Tes Tammuz was the date when the Babylonians broke, was the date when the Babylonians broke through the wall of Yerushalayim in the first siege by the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdosh. And that's when they actually broke the wall, and the Romans broke in through the wall of Yerushalayim on the Shiva Osa B'Tammuz during the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdosh. So hypothetically, we've actually got two reasons for Atarnis. Yeah, we've got two reasons for Atarnis. We've got Tes and Yud Zayin. Tes for the breaching of the wall in the first Beis HaMikdosh, and Yud Zayin for the second. But Chazal said, we have Rachmanis on you. We're not going to impose on you two Taneyos Tzibur in 1 week. Yeah, in such a short day apart. So then the choice became either Tes Tammuz or Yud Zayin Tammuz. So Chazal said two things. Chazal said one thing and I said the other. The first thing that Chazal said was that we're in the Golos of the second Beis HaMikdosh. And therefore, the later Poronius, the later punishment, the punishment that the disaster and the terrible destruction that occurred with the second Beis HaMikdosh is closer to us. It happened closer in time. And that's the one that affects us, that we are still in the Golos of the second Beis HaMikdosh. And therefore, for us, it's more significant, the second Beis HaMikdosh, and therefore, it's closer to us. It's not more significant, it's very hard to say, but it's closer to us, we feel it more, we're in the Golos of the second Beis HaMikdosh, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdosh, and therefore, we make the Tanis on Yud Zayin, which is Shiva Osa B'Tammuz. The second reason, which Chazal don't say, but I say, is that then instead of 3 weeks, we'd have four plus weeks. We'd have the 4 weeks. If we started the 3 weeks on Tes Tammuz until Tes Av, we'd have a whole month of restrictions of the 3 weeks. Maybe Chazal had Rachmanis on us and said 3 weeks of restrictions, 3 weeks of Avelus is enough. So
between the first and second Churban, can we have a Tannis on Tes
Tammuz? I guess so, yeah. I would have thought that between the first and the second, they could still have kept, I don't know, because they would have needed then to have two Tanesim, because we have five things that occurred on Shiva Osa B'Tammuz. So for four of them, like Shviros Haluchos, for instance, for four of them, they would have kept that between the first Beis HaMikdosh and the second Beis HaMikdosh as well. So they would have had to keep Yud Zayin. And then Tes was the date when the wall was breached for the first Beis HaMikdosh. So did they keep two Tanesim then, or did Chazal have Rachmanis on them then as well, and said that seeing we're fasting anyway on Shiva Osa B'Tammuz, let's move it on to there. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there, and I can't say that I've seen it, but it might be something. It may be something that's discussed already. Our speaker's not here, so let's get on to the other things that I want to speak about for Friday. This Friday, Mi'etz Hashem, will be the Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas is a Tanis Tzadikim. It's brought down. It's a Tanis Tzadikim, and unfortunately, Avadia, it's all your fault. Okay? Yeah. Right? It's all your fault. It commemorates the burning of the Talmud in Paris in 1242. What happened? There was a Jew who converted to Christianity, and he became a priest, and he mustered on the Talmud to the Pope that the Talmud contains lots of anti-Christian heretical passages. And they decided, as he was a French priest, they decided to put the Talmud on trial. They decided to put the Talmud on trial and to decide whether or not the Talmud is anti-Christian. And they had a large public debate in which it was this convert to Christianity. He was the priest who had 35 challenges against the Talmud, and there were four rabbonim who were appointed to defend the Talmud. Amongst them, the leader of the four was known as Rabbeinu Yechiel of de Paris, exactly. Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris was the leader of the Jewish delegation, but they had their hands tied behind their backs. They were given strict instructions as to what they were allowed to say and what they weren't allowed to say. And therefore they were very restricted in anything that would at all hint in any criticism whatsoever of Christianity or Yeshu or Christian practice or anything like that was absolutely banned. And at one stage, apparently, there was an attempt on the life of Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, and he actually had to run away. And they carried on the rest of the debate with only three of the Rabbonim, instead of four, trying to defend the indefensible, because they weren't given the opportunity. And the decision was, in the end, that the Talmud was guilty of heresy, and that the Talmud was condemned to be burnt. For the next 2 years, from 1240, I think it was, to 1242, from 1240 to 1242, The Christian Church went around the whole of France collecting every possible manuscript. Apparently, I mean, in those days, obviously, it was before the days of printing. It was nearly 300 years before printing. And therefore, every copy of the Talmud and every Sefer was handwritten. And apparently, there are 2 million words in Shas. 2 million words in Shas. It was a huge, huge... What?
Can't be
2 million. Why not? In the whole of Shas, in all the Masechtas, I saw that brought down in one of the articles that I read.
How many blot are there in Shas?
2771.
2771 blot. Okay.
And how many average words on a blot?
I don't know.
It's lesser words.
I don't know. And I don't know whether or not... I mean, I presume, I don't know. By 1242, you could have had Rashi on the blot as well. Tosfos, maybe yes, maybe no. But Rashi died in 1105. Rashi was 1040 till 1105. So you could have had Pirush Rashi on the blot as well. In any event, if it's not 2 million, so it's 1 million words. Yeah, it's millions and millions of words. Each copy of Talmud, each copy of Shas represented like years of work to copy. And they brought in the end, there are various numbers brought down, but either anything between 20 and 24...
1.8 to 2 million words, according to...
1.?
1.8 to 2 million words.
There you are.
Wait, either one or the other.
Okay. No, 1.8 to 2 million. It depends whether or not you include the bits that the censor cut out.
Variations in print.
Variations in print, but the text is not a variation.
Why is this?
Okay, Yitzchak, 1.8 million times the number of sets of Shas, whichever there were, and they brought them to the square in front of Notre Dame Cathedral, which was built and was already standing then. And we were also upset when we saw how it burnt down a few years ago. And we were also proud recently when Macron inaugurated the newly restored Notre Dame Cathedral. But the square in front of the Notre Dame Cathedral was where they burnt the Jewish forum, and the priest went inside the Notre Dame Cathedral in order to bring out the first fire, in order to light the fire from the holy candles inside the cathedral, and they burnt their shas. They burnt their shas, I presume many, many others for him, which they collected. And apparently it wasn't just that burning of the shas which was so tragic. It was the fact that there were no Sepharim anywhere in the whole of France after that. And that was more or less the end of the era of the Rishonim in France. There were no Sepharim to learn from. And therefore, Torah moved elsewhere. Torah moved to other countries, I don't know where. People carried on to Italy, to Germany, to other countries. But in France, that was pretty much the end of the era of the Rishonim of France. So, as a result of that, they decided, Remeir of Rothenburg, he made one of the kinnos that we say every year, Shali Srufo Boesh. There was a kinnos which we say every year on Tisha B'Av, and that was to commemorate the burning of the Talmud in 1242. And as a result of that, they were Koivea Etanis for French Jewry. Originally, it was a French Tanis. For French Jewry, they made a Tanis, and they said they Koivea the Tanis on the Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Not on a particular Hebrew date, but always Erev Shabbos, Friday, before Chukas. The remez apparently is that it says Zois Chukas HaTorah. The translation of Zois Chukas HaTorah in Targum Unkelus is Do Gezeras Oraiso. This is the destruction of the Torah. It's a pun on the word Gezeras. Obviously, Gezeras means a decree, as in Chuko, as in Choik. But nevertheless, Do Gezeras Oraiso is the Do we have a speaker? Okay. Alright, so we'll carry on for the moment, and then we might have trouble getting through the whole week if we do it all today. But it's interesting. So the Dog Zera Saraisa, that was Friday from 1242 onwards. From 1242 onwards, the first of the Gezeras. We've got two other Gezeras which are coming up. Which we'll speak about during this week, so that you'll know that Friday is actually a very, very significant day in our calendar.
Star today at Turaway, Northwest London, Monday, Dalit Tammuz, 30th of June, Dian Yossi David.
Mezuzah.
This week's Torah been sponsored by Fanny Frankel of Hutzim, Sonny Sturin, Paul, Benjamin Frankel, Nerior, and Fegi Kash, Tichia. Chasson will take place on Wednesday, Mitz Hashem Yehi, Rotsen, Shem Nebaiz, the movie is for Hashem, the Shalom, the Shchus, Hashem, the Chayolim, by Milchamo, Shachzu, the Votem, the Shalom, Bim Heiro.
Amen. Very good. So I thought Parshas Korach, I mean, we're moving on to Parshas Chukas. The connection is obviously Korach started being a rationalist. And he started working out Tama Mitzvahs. And actually it was a Kuntzer Midrash, his wife's idea more. No, women are more rationalists. I didn't know. But she influenced her husband and she started questioning and going to questioning Mitzvahs Hashem. Tzitzis, Tcheles, and after this questioning the mezuzah aspect. It's interesting, I saw a Kanati, I don't know if to quote it word by word, but the Kanati says that Moitzeh Shabbos is a minhag to overfill your cup of wine. So we all know the reason is called Baisen and Nishpach Bo Yayim Kamayim, the Simon Brocha, beginning of the week. Kanati says a different reason. In the olden days, the floors were not tiles, they were earth. And it says that Rishonim go back to Yenam, Moitzeh Shabbos, no? That's what the Ramos says to be Marech and Borchu. Because the Avelim is to daven for the Omud. And therefore they have to be Marech and Borchu in order not to put the Rishonim back to Gehinnom fast. Take your time. So it says Rishonim go back to Gehinnom on Moitzeh Shabbos. And therefore, Korach is also going back to Gehinnom. He's under the ground, he's swallowed in the ground, and he's going back to Gehinnom. So, what was Korach lacking is Deya. Because he says, Rav lachem ki kol ha'edah kulam kedoshim u'btocham Hashem u'medet nasu al kar Hashem. Who do you think you are, Moshe Rabbeinu? Who do you think you are? What are you guys doing? We're all kedoshim. We all saw the Mamad HaSinai. We all heard the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who do you think you are? He didn't see the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of Am Yisrael. So he's lacking Deya. The Gemara says, why would they establish Havdolim Chayin Adas, Im Deya Ein, Havdolim Minayin. You can't do Havdolim. Korach was lacking that. So therefore, Moitzeh Shabbos, we overspill the wine and let it fall on the earth to give a Korach a little bit of Havdolim wine. The Kamati says that. Very interesting. It looks like quite a good source to what people do. Unfortunately, today we can't. Fortunately, on we can't put it on the floor. We won't go into the soil.
You don't want trouble with your wife.
Huh?
You don't want trouble with your wife.
Yeah, yeah. I thought to myself, why Kosh Boch made such a mess? The Malbim explains that he had to make something unnatural, Dumi the Mamad al Sinai, because he questioned Moshe Rabbeinu's authenticness and his authority. So therefore, Moshe says, it's not my argument. That's when Pirkovitz didn't say, Machlokes Moshe Bekoch. It wasn't. He was arguing with Kosh Boch. He says, you have to redo Mamad al Sinai. So there's something unnatural. But why did they? Why swallow him in the earth? There's a lot of unnatural deaths, which can also prove the matter. So I thought maybe the first time we find that the Adama actually swallowed human blood was by Cain and Hevel. There was a Maaseh Kinah. It was jealousy. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was upset and cursed the earth. Why are you swallowing us such innocent blood just for jealousy? So he came and did the tikkun now of someone who did the opposite, had Kinah. Then the ground came and swallowed Korach. So, let's go back to the mezuzah issue. Avkain. So it makes sense. Perfect. Very good. Yeah. I didn't see this written. It's written it, and that's why it was swallowed in Adama. Interesting. Thank you. I'm going to ask you the source.
What? I didn't hear what you said. It's very quiet.
No, no. He mentioned that Kain, that Korach was the Gilgul of Kain.
Oh, I see. So that is
a I know the Moshe was the Gilgul of heaven, no? So it makes sense, yeah. Let's go back to what we had. Ilchus Mezuzah. I thought I'd choose the Mezuzah as one of the things he made Choizek. He questioned on the whole a room full of Sefer Torah. Do you have to put the Mezuzah at the entrance? I had a question which came up recently. Someone woke up in the morning and he saw the Mezuzah on the floor. He wanted to know when he puts it back, should they make a bracha? You know, you straight away people get speculations. There's probably something wrong with the mezuzah. The sefer did something wrong here. I've got to get it checked because it fell. I think you'd go to Ruchaim Kanievsky, tell you just put good nails on. Next time it won't fall. There was a story of someone came to Ruchaim, says, a bird came into the wind through the window, did a few rounds and went out. Rebbe, well, what's it mean? She says, next time close the window. That's all. That's it. It's interesting, it's unbelievable. People, when it comes to checking the mezuzahs, as soon as they have any problems, any trouble, first thing is don't blame yourself because Averis, because you do, it's hard to look at your own Averis. Probably the sofer got it wrong. So let's start with that. Can't be me. So, since the Negoim worked the opposite, no? He went to the house and then they begged him. First, let's blame the sofer, it's probably him. Anyway, we have to remember the Gemara in Yuma says, it's relevant to what we'll discuss now. Really, it's not only a question if the mezuzah falls. If I take off my mezuzahs to go and check them, do I have to make a bracha when I put them back or don't put them back? I'm sure it's a subject which all of you came across at one point. But was the question asked? Was it answered? Let's try and be mevarech the sugya. I don't know if we have much time left. Yeah. If Yitzchak Tshuva brings the chidah, Yitzchak Tshuva was limited in the amount of sforim he could get hold of. Baruch Hashem, today there's something called Eitzel Chochma. Mamish called Azla Anisle. There's nothing missing there. Because literally you can waste so much time on this program. You can sit down and spend and waste time. But you can find any sefer you want. Chazal Hashem, I was told today, why print a sefer? What are the chances people take it off the shelf? Feldheim begs people, don't print your sefer. No one's going to take it off the shelf. You know what he says? Put a Noitzer HaChochma. You don't have to print it either. When you look in the search, you find
what do you do Shabbos?
Chances are someone looking. What?
Do the Shabbos.
Well, the Shabbos, you're right. Shabbos is Chumash Rashi. No. Okay, let's go back. So the mezuzah fell, or the mezuzah gets taken off to be put back. So Pesach Tshuva brings the chidah brings someone called the Leshon Limudim. Let me pronounce it properly. The Leshon Limudim was someone called Rav Barzilai Yavetz. He was in Turkey, and about 300 years ago, 250, 300 years ago, and he wrote a book called Lashon Limudim, and he had a sofek whether a person who takes off the mezuzah to go and check it, does he have to make a bracha when he puts it back or not? Pesach Tshuva says, I don't know what his sofek is, but we know the halacha is, if you're wearing a talis and tefillin, and you take off a talis and tefillin, what's the halacha? Don't know. No, I don't know.
No, it depends if they fell or if you take
no, no, off. You take off, off, not take the bed. Take it off to go to the bathroom or talk to your friend or to go and do something.
To go to bed.
Yeah. Oh, you had machshava. It's a big machlokes between the Rambam, Rashi, and the Tur, to Masa Deshan. Big machlokes. It boils down to machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. When a person takes off his talis for a few minutes and he has das to put it back on, takes off his tefillin, he has das to put it on, it's a machlokes, big, massive machlokes. We all know the klal of Sofek Brochus Lehakel. But the two questions on the Rambam rules, like the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav, the Gemara says that even a person, a lot of times Rashi and the Rambam have the same lashon, mea pe'am, there's a tefillin Gisa in the Rambam, when it's 100 times, or made the cheshbon within 12 hours, 100 times, 7.5 minutes, every 7.5 you take a tefillin. So it's not a long time we're talking about. Says the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch rules like that, every time a person takes off a tefillin, no matter why, even if he's got dust to put it back on, he has to make a new bracha. He has to make a new bracha. And it's medarek that from the Gemara in Sukkah, we won't go into it, we don't know much time. The Torah is going soft, and he says, perhaps, if you have intention to put it back on, maybe it wouldn't be hefsek if you got das. And that's how the Lemaisa, the Torah Sedeshim, Paschal Zagal, the Ramo says, Yeshoim Mimshein Nevorech, not to put it on. If you had das, if you had intention to take off your talis and tefillin, and you had das to put it back on, then don't make a bracha. So Machlokes Shulchan Aruch and Rambam, whether you should make a bracha if you take off your talis, for whatever reason, even if you have das. The Torah says, if you have das, to put it back straight on, after a couple of minutes, after this, then you shouldn't say a bracha. There is, the Achronim say, if you're going to the Beis HaKisa, that you can't wear tefillin there, then you've got an issue. Then you're taking off your tefillin because you can't have it worn over there. Not so clear, but because the Magen Avraham makes a chiluk. Magen Avraham is a chiluk, the toilet is far near. Yeah, if the toilet is near, you have to come in it. If you can't go into the bathroom, you can't go to the bathroom. Lemaise, if you take off your tefillin because you can't have it there, the Achronim say you should make a broch on it when you put it back on. So talis, halacha is, you can take it into the bathroom. You make a din. Even though the taz makes it a tashmish kedusha, because it's used specifically for tefillah. Even a gartel, there's some people who machmir not to take it into the bathroom for the same reason, because they wear it only for tefillah. So it's a double shabbat kedusha. So maybe, but tachlis, most achronim hold that the talis is a tashmish mitzvah, and really, technically, you can take it into the bathroom.
You can?
You can. There's some achronim who machmir because they consider davar shebikdush mitzad davar shebikdush because it's specifically for davening. But if you wear your talis to shmuz to your friend, it might not be only for. So you have to be careful. It has to be specifically with tefillah. I've got a problem with my hat. Some people wear a hat only for davening, so maybe you shouldn't go to the bathroom with a hat. Be careful. No.
I'm
going to don't take the bath. I'm going to take the bath. Can imagine if it falls. So. Let's go back to what we're saying now. This Chachuva said, I don't know what a Sofik is. We know that there's a Machlokes, Halacha Sofik Brochas Lehakel, so therefore if you take off your mezuzah to check it, you say, why should you make a brocha? Just like if you take off your tefillin, you can't even tell us your tefillin, you take it. So then he says, in Be'emes, if you look, the Chidor also mentions the Admas Kodesh, it was a Rishon Letzion in Yerushalayim, also 250 plus years ago, and he writes as follows. He says, do we have... It depends. If you took off the mezuzah, because the Gemara in Yuma says that you have to check it twice in a Shemitah, then you had to take it off. So he wants to compare it to going to the bathroom. If you can't, you have a reason why you have to take it off, then you should make a bracha when you put it back on. However,
you should.
Because you had to, halachically, you had to take it off the wall. So this is called like a Hesach Hadas, let's call it. However, the Lashon Limudim says a good point he brings up on this. He says, but I'm oisek in the bdikah of the mezuzah. That shouldn't be a hefsek. I took it off in order to check it. So why should I make a bracha? I'm not being mad. Do not have a chadas here. She says, perhaps, maybe when I took it off, since there was a doubt, maybe it's not kosher. So therefore, when I take it off, it's not necessary a das to put it back on. Because it depends. If it'll be possible, I won't be able to put it back on. I have to get a new one. So therefore, since you took it out of Sofik, maybe you shouldn't. But on the other hand, maybe you should. because you're oisik in the union of tefillin of the mezuzah. It says no kul hefsek hadas, no kul hefsek.
That would only work if you take it off and you're being boidik it on the spot.
Right, correct.
If you give it to a safe,
you give it to a safe, and you're doing
it back 2 days later.
You're doing other stuff. You're going to business. You're going to this. You're going to the safe. The matter there is a hefsek hadas. It will help you that he's not mesiach das because you're the one who's got the chiv of mezuzah. It's interesting what there's a raya from Shamash in Suda. It says that he has to make a brocha on each cup of wine which he's given because he doesn't know whether he's going to give another. So if you don't, if your mezuzah is going to be kosher, you can put it back. You won't. On the other hand, we've got a raya in Shulchan Aruch with Gavi Leturah. If you have to feed the animals in between Hamoitzi and you're eating, you don't have to make it. It's not a hefsek because it's all tzorech. So here's not tzorech. So if you check it yourself, as he's saying, and he's standing near the mezuzah, you shouldn't have to make a bracha. But most people, what do? They give it to the sofer to check. And they get on, and they go about their own matters in between. So therefore, that should be considered a hefsek. Zoruch HaShulchan, which is a very big mechadash, he tells that if it's on the same day you put it back on, don't make a bracha. If you're overnight, that's because of Torah. I don't know where Zraya is so much. Well, he tells that if you put back the mezuzah on the same day, you don't make a bracha. The mice is very difficult to say that. Because the Chol HaSech HaDas can be even without sleeping. It shouldn't be a matter of... So, the mice, I did see Achronimu say that if you put it back, if you're not dealing with anything else, and you're checking the mezuzah, and you're putting it back straight away, then we've got the klal of Sofik Brochus Lehakil. How long would it be not considered a hefsek that you have the mezuzah off the door? How long? Because the mice, if you take a few mezuzahs off, one mezuzah you're not being oisik on. You're oisik on the other mezuzah. So each mezuzah you're being oisik on something else, which is not that mezuzah in between. So what should you do? The mice, there is rise to say that within half an hour it's called somuch. Because the Gemara Psochim says somuch mincha. You shouldn't have a suda gedas. So smichus is half an hour. And we've got no raya really. It's not such a strong dis. But if you take longer than that, and you were Messiah Das as well, the Choyer, you should have to make a bracha when you put it back on. There shouldn't be a reason why you shouldn't make a bracha.
He's not Messiah Das for the 2 hours.
I'm saying, when Yishchai has a case, if someone saw the mezuzah wasn't hanging properly, so he decided to make it a box. He took it off and he was waking for 2-3 hours doing a box. So here you've been oisik on the tzercha mezuzah. And you're not being mafsi. He says if you were Messiah Das and you were Isaac and other things in between, make a brocha. But no one talks about what's the minimum amount of time if you're not Messiah Das. The mezuzah is off, you should make a brocha. So the mice should be like that. If it's within half an hour, like news light, obviously each one should ask it. If it's within half an hour, then we can say it's somuch, it can be makel if you're not Messiah Das to put it back on without a brocha. But if it's longer than that, then the Maase, there's a raya against this. That even if you're oisik, the Beis Yosef according to his shita, which he holds, that every time you take your vitalis and tefillin, no matter for what, you make a bracha. He once had a doubt. The Ma'arik Kulon has a question. Someone was tying his tefillin. It's one of the few questions the Ma'arik brings and never answers it. He leaves it as a question. And in the tshuva, we lost the manuscripts. And Beis Yosef says, we don't have the answer. Someone was tying his tefillin, and as he's tying, he made the brocha, and he's tying it, the kesher is nifsak. Gets undone. So he takes it off, and he says, pshita. Took it off. Loi gora min nishmetu mim koima. We all know the Gemara says that the tefillin kol pam she memashmeshi, you should make a brocha. Rashi says, memashmeshi because of hesach hadas. It's a chiddush. So he says, what brocha are you going to make? It's on you in the right place. What brocha are you make? So Ms. Lishmo Yichukov, Laniach, he can't say. The Rosh says, Mapiton, in the name of the Ri. When the Gemara says that Memashmesh means it's Nishmetu Mimkoim, moved off the place, and you didn't realize. And this goes to our next question. What happens if you get up in the morning and you find the mezuzah on the floor? Chalila. And you find the mezuzah fell. What do you do? So, it's directly connected to the din of what happens if your talis falls off. What happens if your tefillin is nishmat min koyman? So where the halacha is, lechayr you should. It's as if you took it off. You didn't know you're taking off. It wasn't a das le'achzi. So you went off. You should know the shlach, because it says not to make a bracha of nishmat min koyman. It says the minag in chulin, the shlach says that he received from his rabbis, not to make a bracha. Magen Avraham brings it. Not to make a bracha if nishmetu mimkoyman. Why? Why? For tefillin. Tefillin. We'll go to mezuzah in a second. We'll see the
reason. All the time tefillin.
What?
You can put on tefillin in the morning and you can forget about
the tune down. Very good. So the Magen Avraham brings the Shlach Kodesh, yeah? It's worth it to see it inside. I don't know what the... Yeah. So he says like that, yeah? The Shlach Kodesh brings... Bizman hazeh she'ein ha-menichin tefillin el v'shas tefillah... If nishmetu bimkoyman, he says, don't make a brocha, ki bevadai, kol zman she'oisik bedivre kedusha. All right, you're davening. What are you doing? You're not going to talk dvorim betelim, you're davening. Davening is not called esech hadas, because she'oisik bedvorim bekedusha bekedusha, en ze nikra mesiach daito mitfilin, she'gam hem dovar shebekedusha. Vedinim elu lo ne'emru, these are lochos of nishmetu bimkoyman, which the Ri says to make a new bracha based on the Gemara and Sukkah of Mashmash. He says, talking about people who used to wear tefillin all day. And therefore, there was a chance there were Messiah das while the tefillin wasn't bimkoyman. So therefore, when you put it back, bimkoyman. But if you're davening, you're doing tefillah, it's lochos of Kedusha. So that's a question in the loch over there. You have to not Messiah das while you're davening as well. Some sidurim print at the top of the page, tefillin. You should constantly be thinking about tefillin. Only Bashmon Esref. But the Maaseh says, you're doing Dovah Shemikdusha, so that's what Shlach HaKodesh says. And the Shlach HaKodesh says, the Maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah actually said, the Maaseh, the minhag is not to make a bracha for Nishmet. Even though the Elia Rabba and the Chaya Odom argue with the Shlach HaKodesh. They disagree, they say you should make a bracha for Nishmet to come if you didn't know. But the Maaseh says, the minhag seems to be that people don't make a bracha if they put it back in the pen. They go and prompt someone and tell them, Tfilin of the Chanot Ben Anecha. And he goes and puts it back, he doesn't make any bracha.
Nishmet to Mikoyim is just moved sideways.
Yes. If the Tfilin go not Ben Anecha, it's not in the right place, not Yetzim, it's a Tfilin. The Indian Hafocha, it's interesting. Some Achronim want to be Maker, that if you move it from its place, then there's no problem with Lafiach. And keeping a clean body in that sense. Lemaiseh, I'm not so sure. The Torah of Ishma, the Ben Ishchayim, the Tshuva says, if you're holding a Sefer Torah, are you allowed to, Chalila Vechas, release her? That's human nature. Yeah? So he's tends to be machme on that. So therefore, if it's on the body, it's got nothing to do with being in its place. It's a zinzu, it's a bizoyah. So this heter of putting it aside comes from a different, by Nishmitu Mimkom, the Mosheh Torah, it's not in its place. You have to make a new brocha. So therefore, if you move it, you can do a focha. It's very not clear. Yeah? I know the Chayim a bit making on this. So, okay. Kafachayim, Sofer brings it different. So in Maisi, if you compare that to mezuzah, we don't have the svar of being oisik and dovashim kedush when you take it off the wall. So the Maisi, if it fell off the wall, you didn't know about it. It's like nishmitu bimkoyim. According to the Ri, you have to make a new brocha. When you put it back, and you find the mezuzah, you have to put it back. New brocha. So the Kaf HaChaim says an interesting story on to why different than the Shlo. He agrees to the Shlo. He says another reason: when a person makes a brocha on the tefillin, he wants to cover kol zman he's wearing it until he takes it off, and therefore if nishmetu bimkoyman, yeah, it's like you took it off al das lachziran, which again you go back to Sofik brochas la'akel. Says this makes a swara. At the time you make the brocha, you're probably covering until you finish davening. So even if your tefillin went off the place in the middle, you shouldn't have to make a brocha. The Kaf HaChaim. I was trying to compare that to Hilchas Mezuzah maybe. What, we make a brocha 3 years ago, you made the brocha until you finish the use of the mezuzah. It's very hard to say that. We don't find such a thing that a brocha should come from day to day. But might say you make a brocha on the kvius of mezuzah, yeah? Not in the mezuzah being on. You know, a famous Magen Avraham says that if a woman moves into a house before he's actually living in it, he shouldn't make a bracha. That's why only two places where the Shulchan Aruch writes, Keshe Yadlik Yevorech, Keshe Yikva Mezuzah Yevorech. Everywhere else the Shulchan is makpi to say Oivel Asiyosam. In Shabbos candles, it's a bit of question what the Shulchan Aruch holds. Don't listen to anybody who tells you the Shulchan Aruch was cut with Sakina Harifa, you should make a bracha before like the Rambam. Two places the Shulchan Aruch differed from the Rambam's Roshan, in Hilchas Mezuzah and in Hilchas Hadlakas Neiros, the Shulchan Aruch did not write that you have to make a bracha before. Because these two things, the mitzvah is only afterwards. By Hadlokas Neiris, it's the Hano which you have after from the candles. It's not by Kvias Mezuzah, it's only after you actually live. And sometimes you put Mezuzah before you even move into your house. It's not Chayiv and Mezuzah yet. So if you're putting your belongings, you have to put. So Magen Avraham in the beginning of Chatzitzis, he brings it. You're right, but this, you know Rabbeinu Meshulam. Quickly, Rabbeinu Meshulam, the Mordechai brings Rabbeinu Meshulam, says, I don't understand why you should make Brochon Hadlokas Neiris. It's not mentioned in Gemara at all to make Hadlokas Neiris on Shabbos. When Moshul said, why should you make a brocha? The mitzvah is only in the night when you eat next to the candles. It's not for them when you light. So it's over the over. It's like making a brocha and tefillin before you take it out of the bag. Aloch is not like that. The minhag is to make a brocha. Shulchan Aruch says to make a brocha. But at least, there's nothing wrong in delaying it. It wasn't makpid to koidim. The Rambam clearly says koidim. However, that's not a subject now. The ma'aseh, the mezuzah falls. We haven't got these horrors here. And therefore, if a person finds a mezuzah which fell, he has to make a bracha when he puts it back on. Just a warning. Eh? The Rashi says the reason why you have to check a private mezuzah twice in the Shemitah, if he brings a Loshon Shema nirkeva, maybe the mezuzah got rotten. Remember, it's animal skin. And sometimes it gets hot, humidity, it can get rotten, the mezuzah. Or Shema nigneva. You don't have Hashem, that problem here. But the first problem, you should know, they're selling today mezuzahs which are see-through. And people want to have the Shem Hashem see-through. And when the sun hits it, there's moistness inside. And I'm telling you, most mezuzahs which I check, which are clear, the parchment cracks as you open it. It dries up so badly that the parchment doesn't last. Forget the ink melting. And people should be careful. If it's an outdoor mezuzah, don't have it see-through. Make sure it's a fully covered mezuzah. Also back doors. Make sure they're covered mezuzah. Otherwise, easily, I found many mezuzahs which were absolutely rotten. And they were better to be careful with these mezuzahs. Say this. By us, the mice,
What did you say about making pictures of the table? Pictures of the table, we're talking to the table.
I said because there's different, because the chiyuv to make every day. You don't cover one day with another day.